Professor Loyakhona, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. So, how do you judge the situation from your perspective as a professor in real estate law and in advanced legal research? I hear that you are have also put some thought into the vaccine passports and liberal democracy.
Yeah, it's good. As you alluded to earlier, I mean, we were very worried for a while because Australians have a reputation for being have a disrespectful authority. But basically, since this has started, we haven't really seen that, and it's only until now that we're actually seeing that. And I mean, the thing that worried me a lot, or that I was very upset about, was that my profession really, which should be speaking out for upholding of fundamental rights and freedoms, hasn't done that at all. It's only been individuals here and there that have decided this is just not on. It's not until I think the thing that really shocked some people last year was the fact that a pregnant woman was arrested in her own home in front of her children on the way to an ultrasound for posting on social media about a lockdown protest. Now, for a country that for many years has always been called the lucky country and has welcomed migrants such as my parents from all over the world because of the Westminster system of the rule of law and respect and those kind of things, to see those things happen in Australia, I think, has really started to shock a lot of people. Also now we're into half of the country is locked up basically under virtual house arrest, the two largest cities in the country and the three largest cities in the country, in fact, are under virtual house arrest, and people are starting to get angry, and rightly so, and that's a good sign. Whether time will tell, I mean, I hope Tony's right, because where I live in Perth, it's the most isolated city in the world, and between this city and pretty much the rest of the country, there's a desert. So people here are very cocooned, and again, there's not much media diversity, so you really only get one side of the story, which is where I've tried to write and put out an alternative narrative which actually tries to question. And that's what lawyers should always be doing. They should be questioning and asking and searching and looking behind things. I mean, that's the Italian thing. You always look behind to see, well, maybe in front of what you have in front of your eyes is not really all that should be seen. There might be something behind. And that's what I've tried to argue. In terms of the vaccine passports, I've tried to alert people to the fact that informed consent will be denied and is being denied them, because we're only being told one side of the story. Again, we're only being told about benefits, and the story about risk is not being put out there. And the fact that, the vaccine efficacy is, when you actually look at the numbers, isn't what it's claimed to be, and people not being told that. Now, it's all well and good, again, to tell people of the benefits, but again, in order to have proper informed consent, you have to weigh up the risks, and again, people not being informed of that as well. And I've also tried to put an alternative view out there in order to get people aware. Because again, with the narrative that's been told, a lot of people aren't aware. And the fact also is that there is a saying, I'm not sure if you have it in Germany, but you can tell when a politician is lying when he moves his mouth. Now, the thing that's really shocked me. I found confronting is the fact that people have just believed everything that comes out of a politician or a health official's mouth as if it's gospel. And that's just, that's been gone. So again, I've tried to say to people, look, there's another side to this story, and you really should be aware of it, because when I see again what's happened, I mean, the Australia I grew up in, and Tony, I mean, I've been following Tony's defending one of the protesters who has been incommunicado since that protest for 2 weeks because he won't take a PCR test. Now, I mean, for a country that prides itself on being a liberal democracy and an upholder of the rule of law and freedom of speech, I mean, that's something straight out of what happened in Eastern Bloc countries. And it's just not acceptable. But people seem to, either A, be ignorant about it and not want to question it because a lot of fear has been pumped into them. And the politicians have preyed on that fear. And in Australia, we've had 3 elections in states over the last 6 to 12 months, and the governments have been returned with increasing majorities, basically on this fear mongering, and we're keeping you safe. And look at what's happening around the world. There's deaths everywhere, without actually saying, well, look, what is the survival rate? And this is nowhere near the Spanish flu or anything like that. That side of the story just hasn't actually been told. So. That's where I decided to get involved. The other thing that happened here, which I never would have expected, is we're seeing the military being called on the streets here in Sydney to enforce the law. Now, the military is to protect its people, not to frighten or to threaten its people. Again, that's something I would have never ever expected. If you told me even 2 or 3 years ago, look, we're going to see the army on the streets making sure that everyone's in their homes and not going about their work or their business, I would have looked at you and said, look, take a pill. but that's exactly what's happening. And the army has only ever been called in this country once outside of military operations, and that was to break a coal miner strike back in the 1940s. And it was called in to do so by a socialist government, which again was affiliated to the union movement. And the fact this has happened under a centre-right government, and and again in Australia we have a centre-right government nationally, and in Sydney we have a centre-right government under which this lockdown is being enforced and the army is being called in. I mean, is just shocking. To someone and to many people who believed in the Liberal Party and believed in what the party represented. I mean, the founder of the party, Sir Robert Menzies, once said, look, we must always be careful to preserve democracy, and if the Democrat doesn't act to preserve democracy, it will be lost. I'm paraphrasing there, but that's basically what he said. Yeah. And the heirs to the founder of that party have basically trashed liberal values, trashed everything that party stands for, of freedom and liberty and free enterprise. And we're seeing a lot of people in that party be very upset and resign from the party. Luminaries in that party have resigned. People who've voted for that party all their lives are saying they're not going to vote for a centre-right party ever again. So what we're seeing is a country that is being fractured. The effects of coercive public health orders and the idea that vaccine passports will come into force is actually someone put it the other day on Sky News over here. It's actually tearing the country apart, and it's something again I never would have expected to see.
I think that is intended, and it's important that people understand that is intended by those who are pushing this agenda. Let me quickly translate.
Just one little question. Just one little question. So you are already in the process that people who've been vaccinated there's still, you know, they're still locked down. So it's not. It's basically new because we are not yet locked down again, and you have a lot of people who got vaccinated, hoping that this would like prevent the next lockdown to come, or at least give them some some privileges. And this has not come. So how angry are these people now?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, this is something that I'm hoping that it's more than just a vocal minority, and it's that it's part of a silent majority that people are actually starting to realise. I mean, we had one of the premier where I live, who's probably one of the most authoritarian in the country, has said even if there's a proposal at the moment that once we reach a 70% to 80% vaccination rate, lockdowns will be a thing of the past. And he pipes up, comes up the next day and says, oh, I want to reserve the right to lock down certain areas, even if we reach that vaccination rate. I really hope that starts getting people thinking about what is actually behind this, that what was said many, many months ago by the Parliamentary Council of the Council of Europe was that vaccines are not a panacea, and they're not going to be a panacea. That people realise that just because they're vaccinated, it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't be locked down again.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'll translate. Also, bevor ich das, was Professor Loyakano sagt, übersetze, noch ein letzter Satz von Tony Nikolic. Er sagt, die Zensur, die da in Australien auch überdeutlich ist, die geht so weit, er hat einen Mandanten gehabt, den hat er vertreten, weil dem von seinen eigenen Aufsichtsbehörden gesagt wurde, er solle wegen der Impfungen nur über deren Vorteile was erzählen den Patienten, aber nichts über die Risiken. Das geht natürlich überhaupt nicht, das hat mit Informed Consent gar nichts zu tun. Professor Loyakano macht eigentlich Grundstücksrecht, das ist Real Estate Law, und aber außerdem fortgeschrittenen Rechtsforschung. Er beschäftigt sich mit den Vaccine Passports, aber vor allem mit der freiheitlichen Demokratie in seinem Land. Und er sagt, es ist eine Schande, dass seine Berufsgruppe, also die Juristen insgesamt, nicht von Anfang an deutlich geworden sind. Es gibt da diesen extrem schockierenden Vorfall, der hat, glaube ich, den hat die ganze Welt gesehen. Da wurde eine hochschwangere Frau in ihrem eigenen Haus, ihr Mann war dabei und konnte es nicht verhindern, verhaftet, und zwar auf äußerst rabiate Art und Weise, weil sie sich regierungskritisch geäußert hatte im Internet. Sie war auf dem Weg zu einer Ultraschall-Untersuchung. Und er sagte, das war doch allerspätestens der Moment, wo wenigstens die Juristen sich hätten melden müssen. Ist aber nicht passiert. Inzwischen ist das halbe Land, so sagt er, mehr oder weniger unter Hausarrest. Die Menschen werden allerdings jetzt böse und so sagt er natürlich zu Recht böse. Er selbst kommt aus Perth, das ist eine der am meisten isolierten Städte in der Welt. Bis zur nächsten Örtlichkeit ist die ganze Wüste erstmal im Weg. Und auch da wird immer nur eine Seite der Geschichte berichtet. Also, sagt er, empfinde ich das als meine Aufgabe, also er das als seine Aufgabe, hinter die Fassade zu gucken, weil das ist ja schließlich der Job der Juristen, zu gucken, gibt es da hier nicht noch eine andere Seite der Geschichte? Das ist diese berühmte römische Rechtsgrundsatz Audiatur et altera pars. Es gibt immer zwei Seiten. Was den Impfpass angeht, er verletzt natürlich erst recht die Grundsätze der Aufklärung nach der Einwilligung nach Aufklärung. Es wird auch da wieder über keinerlei Risiken aufgeklärt. Die Leute werden gezwungen oder sollen gepusht werden, diesen Impfpass zu erhalten und sich dafür natürlich impfen zu lassen. Offenbar die gleiche Nummer, die eben schon von Tony Nikolic berichtet wurde. Und er sagte, ob es bei uns auch so ein Sprichwort gibt. Man erkennt einen Politiker oder man erkennt, dass ein Politiker lügt, wenn er anfängt, seinen Mund zu bewegen. Das ist in Australien ein Sprichwort. Ich kenne das auch aus den USA. Er sagt, es ist nur seltsam, dass bislang dieses Selbstverständnis der Australier, die auch nicht gerade autoritätshörig sind, überhaupt nicht zum Einsatz gelangt ist, dass so viele blind gefolgt sind. Also sagt er, sag ich denen, dass es eine andere Seite gibt, dass es eine andere Seite der Geschichte gibt. Die liberale Demokratie und die Rule of Law, also die Rechtsstaatlichkeit, für die Australien bekannt sein soll, auf die Australien stolz ist, sagt er, hat sich völlig in etwas verwandelt, was man nur noch oder was man eigentlich nur aus den Ostblockländern kannte. Inzwischen werden weite Teile des Landes durch nackte Furcht regiert. In den letzten drei Regionalwahlen, die es gegeben hat in Australien, sind die jeweiligen Regierungen bestätigt worden, wegen dieser Furcht, so sagt er. Inzwischen wird sogar das Militär auf die Straße geschickt in einigen Plätzen. Er sagte, das ist ja völlig irre. Dieses Militär ist dafür da, die Menschen nach außen vor Angriffen von außen zu beschützen, aber nicht sie innerhalb des Landes anzugreifen. Das hat es nur einmal vorher gegeben, nämlich beim Coal Miner Strike, also Kohlminenstreik in den 1940er Jahren, damals durch eine sozialistische Regierung. Da hätte man sich nicht so richtig gewundert, aber hier ist es eine Center-Right, also rechtszentrierte Regierung, die dasselbe macht. Ich habe eben noch mal darauf hingewiesen, das sind nicht mehr unsere Regierungen. Wer die Demokratie nicht schützt, sagt er, der beschädigt sie. Viele Menschen verlassen inzwischen diese Partei und sagen, das hier ist schon lange nicht mehr unsere Partei, wir steigen hier aus. Die nächste schlimme Nummer ist, dass die geimpften Menschen, Viviane hat da eben noch mal extra nachgefragt, trotzdem noch im Lockdown sind. Das kann man schon mal gar nicht mehr verstehen. Und er sagt, er hofft, dass es mehr als eine laute Mehrheit ist, die sich hier jetzt zu Wort gemeldet hat, sondern dass es hier eine große Bewegung ist, der das jetzt endlich ausreicht. Die öffentlichen Erklärungen, die offiziellen Erklärungen sind, wenn 70-80% geimpft sind, so waren sie jedenfalls bisher, dann endet der Lockdown. Wie man sieht, ist das nicht der Fall. Jetzt ist die öffentliche Erklärung, nee, den Lockdown setzen wir so lange fort, wie es uns Spaß macht. We have the same situation here with politicians, leading politicians. Again, I have to emphasize, they're not our politicians anymore, they're somebody else's puppet. With these politicians having now made a law that explicitly spells out that they can continue with the lockdowns and all the other measures as long as they please without any evidence for whatever. So this is a lockdown thing. It's not our governments. It's someone else who is pulling the strings of these governments. I don't want to cut you off, but we have only a few minutes left because there's our colleague from Italy. She's the one who filed the nullification complaints against the conditional approval of the so-called vaccinations in Germany. And she's on vacation. She doesn't have a whole lot of time. But I don't want to cut you off. Is there anything that is important that we missed?
Gigi Foster, I think she's got some very important information
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to cut her off either. Okay. Professor Loiacano, is there something else that needs to be mentioned?
I think from my perspective, it's about making sure that people understand that this is very much about an erosion of their fundamental rights and freedoms. This is about, someone said to me the other day, we're in a war to protect our fundamental rights and freedoms. And as Ronald Reagan once said, the loss of freedom is only ever one generation away. That's the thought that's uppermost in our minds and should be uppermost in everyone's minds. I want to hand over to Gigi because I know, as Tony said, she's got some very important things to say.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be joining me.
Gives us a lot of important insight into what's going on. But the tide is turning, and even you said so, even though you're a little bit careful. But I think the tide is turning even in Australia.
Let's hope so.
Okay. Well, thank you.